The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
A bit about the Texans today and the rest of the NFL and college football and anything else that comes up. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Chong Lee, the bleeping master. If you wish to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name Jong, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-ESPN. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody's in a good mood because it's a short week. Technically, this is Thursday for us.
This is it, yeah, yeah. Day before we're done.
Yeah. We're taking Wednesday off. I made the command decision to take Wednesday off.
Well, I was, you asked me earlier if I was working Wednesday, and I was like, yeah, I'm planning on it. And you had said, okay, well, then I'll plan on it too. And then I got a text from Jong today, and he was like, Fred's out on Wednesday.
Yeah, I just, listen, I after... Not to get too far in, I think an extra day would do me a world of good right now, and I don't want the show to start suffering. So, I decided I need a break. We haven't taken a break in forever. I mean, I haven't really had any time off since I went for a week this summer. That's it. So, figure what the hell. I mean, Wednesdays are usually pretty slow on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So. We'll do that, and then we'll be back Monday ready to rock and roll for another glorious Texans game that night.
Yeah.
So we'll be here today and tomorrow, and then we'll see what happens. What's going on?
Sports, man. So
your Texans?
Yeah. Jong, I'm going to need your help again. Let's do some math here.
Okay, it's always my favorite little shtick.
What are the odds you flip a coin 6 times and it's heads every time?
70%.
Seven out of 10, yeah.
That's correct, right?
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
I don't think that's right.
Well, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
That you're going to flip it heads 7 times in a row?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of? When we were in Vegas, and the last time we were there for a fight, and we were right outside was a roulette table.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this roulette table, and it came up red 7 times in a row. And my immediate thought was go put $100 on black.
Yeah.
Which I did. And it was red again. But yeah. That's kind of what it was. I have a lot of thoughts on this in that I do think – we're being a little hard on them for pulling out some of these games because the reality is, like, the question is, do you believe in them? And I as a, what do you believe in them as, I guess, would be the way to put it. I think they're a team that's going to win the AFC South, probably, and maybe win a playoff game, which is about what they've always been, right? When they've been under O'Brien. You're usually 9-7. I think they'll do better than that this year.
Right.
But, you know, I think to call them a contender is a little, well, I think it's they're a long way from that. And I think they're a good football team. I don't think they're a great football team. I think great is what you see the New Orleans Saints doing.
Right.
Great is what you see the Kansas City Chiefs and the Rams doing. We'll see great tonight in terms of great teams. And there's nothing wrong with winning 50-50 games.
1.56, by the way, the odds of winning six straight coin tosses.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I think we're beating them up a little too much, because why aren't we beating up the Steelers for playing like crap for 3.5 quarters?
We should be.
And having, because I consider the Steelers a contender, maybe wrongly so. Why aren't we beating up the Patriots for throwing a total turd when they went into Tennessee?
Well, and that
we always know
the only turd that they've thrown. It's what's called equity, Fred.
Right.
You have equity built into your brand at some point. And also, I think it helps that, you know, at least for the Steelers, the Steelers, they beat the hell out of Carolina.
That's the difference, because,
you know, they beat Jacksonville, like, who's at least pretty good. They went on the road to Cincinnati and won when you know, and those teams are probable playoff teams or possible playoff teams, maybe.
I think all those teams are kind of in that same box with a team like Washington, who we saw Texans do that with the Cowboys, who came in here, who I think are a very similar type team.
Pittsburgh beat Carolina by 30 points.
And that's the difference. The only game the Texans have where you look at and say they just rolled these guys was Miami.
Yeah.
And on a short week with a backup quarterback. So that's why I think people are skeptical. They don't have – you can't look at their wins and say, oh, well, they beat the crap out of this team. I think they're improving. I think they're getting better. And I'm not going to beat them up too much for crappy offensive line play in the passing game yesterday.
Because they didn't have any offensive line.
Well, yeah, you lose your two starting guards in the first quarter. And I mean, the backups were okay, but you're also in a position where now those guys have to be extra careful, because you're going to wind up with a tight end playing guard.
Yeah.
And so – yeah, I don't think we saw the best of Deshaun Watson yesterday. The interceptions, one of them clearly his fault. One of them was a great defensive play on just a horrible play call on that screen. My goodness, that play had no chance to work. I've watched it about 5 times. They had the running back completely surrounded, and it was one of those where you don't really have much of an option there as a quarterback, because you're looking the other way, and then, you know, it's a misdirection thing, and then you're turning around. So you're going to make that play. And the reality is, he should have taken one look and thrown it into the ground.
Yeah.
But that play never had a chance to work. It was just awful. The first interception, you just can't do that. You can't try to force a ball downfield off balance. It's going to get intercepted every time. He was lucky. There were 2 other balls that could have been intercepted very easily. And if Josh Norman doesn't slip on the touchdown pass, he might have gotten to that one.
Yeah.
So I think he played a pretty poor game. He had a fumble that should have been lost. And, you know, he's got to get more consistent for me to take them seriously. And I love the guy, and I think he's got a chance to be really good. But,
well, this is the thing. Like, if you want to say the Texans should be taken seriously in the AFC South, obviously they should.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because, listen, everybody in this division is playing a similar schedule. It's light. And you know what? Good for that conference, or good for the division. It broke that way. That, you know, it's not as daunting as it looked at the beginning of the season.
And I think it's fascinating that they're playing the NFC East, which is almost the exact same division.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like the crippled division that everyone thought was going to be good and isn't is playing the other crippled division that everyone thought was going to be good and isn't. So, which is, you know, I'm not going to complain about that. My bigger complaint is when. And now we've gotten to that point where there are inevitably going to be the comparisons of them against other AFC teams that aren't in their division. And where do they – stack up against the Patriots? Where do they stack up against the Steelers? And I just don't think it's even reasonable to try.
Well, I think where their record is about where they stack up, which is, you know, they're, well, they have the same record as
the
Patriots.
They have the same record as the Patriots. Are they as good as the Patriots?
No, but technically they're behind the Patriots because they lost.
Right.
But I think the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Patriots are better teams right now and are legitimate contenders. And for the Texans to get into that conversation, I don't want to put UCF on them, but I need to see some better wins.
Well, let me tell you, this is the other team in the AFC that their record says they're really good, and I'm just not sure, is the Chargers, who took an L yesterday.
Boy, did they choke that game away.
Ugh. I mean, Phillip Rivers just – well, you know what? Let's talk – I mean, they had some bad penalties called on them. They had kickers missing field goals and extra points again, which is just an epidemic with that team.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who they bring in. That happens.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Phillip Rivers just had a brain fart in that game.
But he's done that. He does that sometimes, you know. And
like the one thing you can't do is just throw the ball into the ground. Take a sack.
Yeah.
If he takes a sack on that last play, the Chargers win. There's just not enough time. The Chargers win the game. And he decides in a panic to throw the ball away, stopping the clock, and gives the Broncos a chance to win it, and they do. But when you look at the teams that the Chargers have beat, now granted, the Chargers' losses are pretty good. They lost to the Chiefs, the Rams, and now Denver.
Yeah.
But the only win that even impresses me a little bit on the Chargers' schedule, at Seattle.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
You know what? That's a good win.
I didn't see it coming.
They won by more than a touchdown. Respect. But, I mean, the rest of their wins, at Buffalo, home Niners, home Raiders, at Cleveland, home Titans, at Raiders, there's not one good team in there. And I know the Titans have a good record.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're a good team. You know, and that's what.
And they may not have. It may be the Blaine Gabbert show again Monday night, too. Which, but I do think in retrospect, you look at some of these Texans wins, they might turn out to be better than we thought they were a couple weeks ago. I think the win at Indy, even though it was a gift, the way Indy's playing right now is pretty damn impressive. I think the Dallas win may wind up looking better than it was at the time, because I think they're pretty decent. But
yeah, but then, I mean, when you say the Jacksonville and Miami wins look worse than they did, or less impressive than they did at the time.
Yeah, although
this Redskins win is probably not going to hold up.
Well, now that they're down to, not to get too far ahead, they're 8.5-point dogs to Dallas on Thursday.
You want to know what's crazier than that? And we'll get to all the games. Listen, the Saints are probably the best team in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Are the Saints really 15.5 points better than the Falcons on a Thursday night?
I wouldn't think so, no.
I mean, the Falcons are disappointing, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think...
And the Saints are great, but 15.5?
Yeah, I'm not investing in any more Falcon right now.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you. Well, and I had... This has been the worst month I've ever had in sports betting, and this weekend was terrible for me.
It was bad for me, too. It was my second straight losing weekend.
This is my third straight, and not only that, it was almost comical because every single game except for Syracuse, who was never in it, came down to a point or a play at the end where I didn't cover.
Yeah.
And every single one of them went against me. And you just like look at that and go, okay, maybe I should take some time off. Except I'm not, because I bet the Chiefs tonight at 3.5.
Yeah.
If that doesn't win, I might take some time off.
God, the Vikings stuck it to me last night. I mean, it's just one of those days.
Well, before I get to this, I want to thank my buddy Corey, who's one of our Houston firefighters, who brought us some Papa's Burgers to eat. So there better be some left. If the people out there have gotten to them before us, I will harm someone. But he's a great dude and a good friend. Brought his daughter with him and brought us some food. So we're gonna carb up here after the break. Right now, I have to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. And guys, Black Friday, big deal, right? Well, not at Texas Mattress Makers, because it's Black Friday all through the month of November. 30% off select mattresses, and that's off factory direct prices. You're already saving 50% the minute you walk in the door over what you would spend in a retail store. And how about this? Handcrafted luxury beds starting at $245 for queen sets. And at Texas Mattress Makers, you're going to get comfort and support and more during Black Friday savings all month long. So if you don't want to mess with the crowds on Black Friday, you're covered. All you have to do is swing by one of the two stores, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, or the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. I promise you, you are going to love the mattress you get. You're going to get custom fitted. You're going to save a bunch of money. And Yuval and his gang over there are going to put you on a mattress that's going to help you sleep better. You will thank them. You will thank me. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed. And drifting closer in your sight, so play it out and wide awake.
It's a scene about me. There's something in your way. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we have burgers. My man Corey brought those courtesy of AMORSupply.com.
Nice.
Thank you so much for feeding us. These are really good. And we managed to get some before the rest of the people did.
No, I think a lot of people got them before us.
I know.
Lance Zierlein was out
there. Yeah, Zierlein was out there killing stuff. So, but kind of a couple more things on the Texans. And there's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot to get to here. But I really hated to see that injury to Alex Smith. That was just gross.
Oh, man. That poor dude.
Did you see all the parallels to the Theismann injury?
Yeah.
So in case you haven't heard this, both of them happened, both injuries happened on November 18th. Both happened at exactly the 40-yard line.
Damn.
Romeo Crennel was an assistant coach on the opposing sideline of both games. Washington won the 85 game 23-21. Of course, Houston won Sunday's game 23-21. Theismann finished his season with 301 attempts. Smith entered Sunday's game with 301 attempts.
Yeah.
Finished with 328. So, you talk about weird. And, you know, I don't want to make it about Joe Theismann because who cares at this point. But that was that was hard to see. And then Colt McCoy came in and looked pretty good for a couple of series. And then they figured him out pretty quickly. And, you know, I don't know what the Redskins are going to be going forward without Alex Smith.
I mean, but they're in the same boat as the Texans. They play in a division where mediocre might be good enough.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know if you really are impressed with Dallas or, I mean, obviously Philadelphia is in the toilet.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that are kind of in the same boat. And I think the serious contenders are sorting themselves out to be Saints, Rams. I think you can maybe take the Vikings out of that conversation at this point.
I think you might need to put the Bears in it.
Well, and see, to me, the Bears and the Texans seem fairly similar in that they both play really good defense. They've won some close games. But I trust the Bears more than I do the Texans right now.
I think I do, too.
And I don't mean that as a knock on the Texans. I think this Bears team is really good. But,
well, this, I mean, I've been hesitant to get on the Bears because they don't have a lot of wins that jump off the page at you either. But, you know, the Vikings are, I respected the Vikings, you know, and that's a good win.
It is a good win. And they look good doing it, man. I mean, I've said all along, I thought the Bears would get better as the season goes on. And maybe that's why I think more of them is I still see a lot of upside there as they continue to learn Nagy's offense. And,
yeah.
Although I see some potential improvement in the Texans because, you know, realistically, defensively, they're good enough. And they ran the ball really well against that team, which not many teams have done this year.
Right.
And that's a big positive, too. But, you know, I got to see more consistent quarterback play, and it comes back to play calling, and I've got to see better play calling out of the coach.
Yeah.
And at times, like those first couple drives, when they're going at tempo and, you know, he's excited and they're moving the ball, you're looking at that going, okay, this offense has got a chance to be really good. But then they tightened it up when they got the lead, and that's one thing that's been consistent with them, and I think that's why you see him play so many close games. 4-9 said, Fred, I was listening back to Friday's podcast and your prediction that it would be similar to the Denver game and come down to a questionable decision at the end. Sure enough.
I mean, that's what it did.
Questionable field goal missed to give the Texans a win. And, yeah, that – I mean, I don't know what else you do there other than do you think Colt McCoy can get the ball to the end zone? Because that's really what you're looking at.
Yeah.
From that part of the field.
I mean, but you know your kicker's hurt. To begin with, he had like a groin injury.
Right. Well, and that's what surprised me.
He wasn't kicking there from that distance in warm-ups.
Yeah, because what kicker's going to tell you, oh, I can't do that? They're all going to tell you they can make it. And if he hadn't been hurt, then I'd probably take that chance. But I'll give them a little credit, though. They did make some plays at the end of the game. The Texans did for a change. I mean, the two sacks by Watt and Clowney on the possession before that were big. I thought the first downs that they got, well, one of them was on a questionable holding call, but the first one they made a play to get. Although I'm not going to bitch about that call too much.
There's bad calls all over that game.
Yeah, and I don't want to be the guy who does this, but my God, J.J. Watt was getting held every single play yesterday, and I don't think there was a single call on it. And it was just – there were some of them that were just really brutal. And like, come on, guys, call one just to get – you know. But there were also – I think both sides benefited from some lack of calls. So
that one was just happened to be a really timely one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't think that was holding, but I also thought there were a lot of holdings that they did catch that were clearly holds, but I don't know.
So relative to what you thought he would be this year, how, like, let's say you thought Deshaun Watson was going to be an A this year. What would you grade him now?
C minus.
He's been that disappointing?
I think he's been slightly below average for expectations, yes.
Right, because I'll tell you whose numbers you can put side by side, and there ain't a whole lot of difference in them other than QBR, which is it's very lopsided to one way. Deshaun Watson and Mitch Trubisky have basically the same passing numbers.
It's kind of why I was comparing him to the Bears.
And let me tell you, Mitch Trubisky's a better runner than Deshaun Watson is.
He is right now. I don't know what the – I don't know why they're reluctant to let him take off.
I don't know if he can take – like, even when I've seen him run, it doesn't look like it did last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he has at times this year, but he's also had games like yesterday and where I think he took some pops early, and it kept him from wanting to take off and run as much. And that's one thing I've noticed, like in that Cowboys game where he took a beating, and you're like, wow, man, this guy's tough. He keeps getting up. I wonder, there have been a couple times since then where he's taken a pop and suddenly it's like, maybe I don't want to take off running here.
Yeah. Yeah. The only guys who have a higher total QBR than Trubisky are Drew Brees and Pat Mahomes.
That's good.
That's good company.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson is sandwiched right in between Joe Flacco and Matthew Stafford. That's not great.
Yeah, well, before the season, if you told me he was right there with Matt Stafford, I'd say, okay.
What if I told you he was two spots ahead of Blake Bortles? That would have scared you.
Yeah, that would have scared me a little bit.
Yeah, so he's 20th in the league in QBR with a 56.2. Trubisky has a 76.1. And I understand, and you watched the game last night, it's pretty clear the Bears have a much better offensive line than the Texans do.
Yeah.
So that's...
I'll tell you who has, in watching these games yesterday, you look at the... I think part of Watson's problem is the Saints' offensive line is terrific. And Drew Brees hardly gets touched. The Colts' offensive line is playing out of its mind. Andrew Luck did not get sacked again yesterday.
Yeah.
And... you know, if you had that kind of protection for this guy, I think he'd be putting up a lot better numbers. But you could say that about a lot of quarterbacks. So, Somebody says same Bears that lost to the Dolphins. There's so much parity in the league besides the top three teams.
There is.
But
a lot of it's again, just eye test. Yeah, like, you know,
that Dolphins game, they basically had that game won, and they pulled a charger on it.
Yeah.
And that happened. They also did that opening night against the Packers. Yeah. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and do some more damage to these burgers. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And also, you know the other ways to get us. So Taylor asked, if you were starting a team right now, would you take TJ or JJ Watt, since both have 10 sacks? Depends on how long I have him for. Obviously, TJ is younger. I think JJ is the better all-around player right now. But I also
trust TJ's body a little bit more at this point.
Because he hasn't broken yet. He will. He certainly hasn't Alex Smithed it. Nick said Colt McCoy and Alex Smith look like damn near the same QB. The difference is, and I think you saw this the longer Colt was on the field, it's harder to sustain that kind of play for a backup like Colt McCoy as opposed to Alex Smith. And I do think Colt's a pretty quality backup.
Oh, yeah. You can do way worse.
Yeah. But I would not expect that team to continue to do what it's doing with him at quarterback. And Alex Smith had a kind of an uncharacteristic day before he got hurt.
Yeah, well, the pick six, not his fault. Jordan Reed broke the wrong way or just stopped and didn't break. And, I mean, it was pretty obvious.
He was throwing to a spot, but he was also throwing to a spot that he couldn't really see. He was pretty well screened off on that. So I think it was kind of both of them's fault. But the second one was just a great play by Brendan Scarlett.
But if Jordan Reed turns around, at a minimum, he can defend the ball. You know?
Yeah.
Like, not let it get picked off and taken back for 7 points, which is what happened.
Yeah, I don't like throwing to a spot in the end zone like that in that situation because the field's tighter and it's real easy for what happened to happen. But the Scarlett interception was really good.
And that was good.
Of course, Fairbairn missed the field goal.
Right.
And, boy, that second...
Which is becoming an issue, by the way.
Yeah,
also.
It is. And the second miss... That was just awful. You can't miss it that bad. That looks like somebody they pulled out of the stands and say, "All right, you win $10,000 if you make this." And that was just that is a little bit of a concern. The missed extra point in Denver could have cost you the game.
Yeah.
And again, very Charger-like. You can't have those things.
Yeah.
And frankly, if he makes the second field goal, Redskins have no chance to win that game. They're not going to score a touchdown in 30 seconds,
right?
You know, with what they have there. I'd also like to see Demaryius Thomas sighting at some point. He was targeted one time.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's not surprising in a way, but I kind of thought they would just be forced to because, you know, they have a lack of bodies at that position. I think maybe they were saving Demaryius Thomas in case he had to play guard.
Possibly. But the you know what Watson's QBR was yesterday?
What?
16.9. That's Osweiler territory
there.
Alex Smith was only 26.8. And Colt McCoy 76.8.
Yeah.
But I thought the defense played pretty well again, and it was the Redskins turned it into a Redskin kind of game. When it was 17-7, if the Texans march down, make it 24-7, we're not even talking about. We're talking more about maybe we should start believing in these guys, but they didn't. And then once the Redskins got back in the lead, you're like, okay. But I thought the defense played well enough that game shouldn't have been that close. They got put in some really bad situations by their offense, a couple, and by their special teams, thanks to a really awful punt.
I guess my concern, because we talk about the defense being good, my concern kind of stems from, look at the quarterbacks that they've seen so far. Your defense should be good against those guys.
Yeah.
They've seen two good quarterbacks. They lost to Tom Brady, who's having a down year, by the way. And Andrew Luck put up 34 on him. So while the defense is good, I mean, it's been good against Case Keenum and Brock Osweiler and Blake Bortles and not even that good against Blaine Gabbert. Like, it's been good against bad quarterbacks.
Dak.
Yeah.
Yeah, but during this streak, I'll give him a little
Nathan
credit.
Nathan Peterman?
Yeah, well.
I mean, he literally handed them a game.
Yep, he did. He did. But I do think that, I think the secondary looked pretty good yesterday for the most part against not great receivers. They still can't cover a tight end.
No.
So what are you going to do?
Oh, they can cover a tight end when he doesn't turn around.
But, well, and Vernon Davis dropped that baller. He's got a 30 or 40 yard gain.
Yeah.
In addition to the 70.
That was a crazy drop. That's like not a.
Yeah.
That's not a drop like, oh, he was under pressure. He felt the heat coming. No, that's like a, I forgot how to close my hands drop. That was weird.
Yeah. But, you know, on the whole, if you tell me that they're going to go in and win at Washington and get out of there with a victory, I would have taken it. I just would like to see. Yeah, and at least against the Broncos, I was bitching that they won because the other team screwed up. At least they did make some plays here, but this game shouldn't have been this close. It really shouldn't. And I think I don't know what to put it on, to be honest with you. I don't know whether it's O'Brien. I don't know whether it's Watson. I don't know if it's the offensive line. I think it's kind of a combination of all of them. But I do think that it's hard to buy into them, even with a seven-game winning streak, for all the reasons that you just mentioned, who the quarterbacks they played against, the types of wins. I mean, they have one. Well, I'll throw the Jags win in there too and say that was fairly impressive. So they have two good wins in this seven-game streak. Now, I think it says something that you win these grimy games.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see a couple more. I mean, obviously they're not the Saints, but I'd like to see them have a game where they come out and score on their first five possessions like the Saints do.
Right. Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien's not quite the offensive wizard.
No.
It's going to come out and put something together.
And we'll talk more about the Saints at 5 o'clock when we go through the rest of the league. But that team right now is playing fantastic football. And they're so balanced and so good.
I love Michael Thomas saying, this is the best punter in the league, and he doesn't even punt. It's like, dude, you know you're rolling when you can say stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last week it was the Chiefs punter coming up and thanking Mahomes for letting him punt once.
Yeah.
But Stephen, the weather guy, says, just me, or does it seem like the overall quality of kicking in the NFL has sharply declined over the past few years?
It kind of feels that way. But you know,
I bet it hasn't, though.
It probably hasn't.
You see more missed extra points because it's longer.
Because it's longer.
Yeah.
But I also think about, you know, there's teams in college football who won't put a kicker on scholarship. And they just kind of, they count on walk-ons to come in and do the job for them. And it's just, it's like, it's become such an unimportant part of football, but it's still pretty important. You know, it can be really important. And yesterday, I think there were two games yesterday, I don't have it all in front of me. Two games, I think, that were decided by more than 5 points. Everything else was, I mean, down to the end.
Yeah.
And you see some teams, you saw the Bears last night. They've had kicking troubles. Okay, we'll just go for two.
Yeah. I don't mind that. If you're not making, if you're worried about your kicker making an extra point, I don't mind you going for two. It's theoretically, it's what, 51% for 2-point conversions? So theoretically, if you do it all the time, you're going to come out slightly ahead. But I don't know that it's worse, because I've seen a lot of bad kicking over the years. I remember the Oilers team that started off 7-0, and what was it, Ian Howfield missing field goals that would have gotten him to an 8-0 start and stuff like that, and he had to get cut. But and in the year they went, the first time they went 2-14, Chris Brown, who had been as reliable a kicker as you could ask for, was missing everything. So I don't know that it's worse. I just I think when you start throwing the missed extra points in there, which do happen now, that's probably a factor.
But that's stuff that can impact games.
Of course it can. Damn near caught him against the Broncos.
Yeah.
No question.
Got some breaking news.
Yes.
According to Jeff Passan, James Paxton has been traded to the New York Yankees.
Oh no. I thought you were going to break the news that Mark Sanchez signed with the Redskins.
You said breaking news. I was going to say Alex Smith happened yesterday, John.
Oh no. Yeah, I had tweeted that there. It was. I said the Texans got a lucky break there on the holding call. And then, of course, everyone was like, dude, were you talking about his leg? And I was like, no.
That's because that's what they would expect
no,
from you.
No, I'm not that horrible of a human, usually. Usually. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Hey, guys, I have to tell you about Zumos. And if you're going to be doing any kind of grilling this weekend, you want to add this to your Thanksgiving menu. It's a great thing to do. The Party Time Sausage, the Boudin, the Andouille Sausage. It's all fantastic. And their Party Time sausage recipe has been passed down from generation to generation since 1908. So great, great stuff. I love all of it. And how about this? Right now, you want to get your deer processed? They're offering all kinds of deer product options for you. Smoked sausage, green onion sausage, jalapeno and cheese sausage, breakfast pan sausage, boudin, ground chili meat. Whatever you want, they got it covered. Your meat will be vacuum packed and frozen, so it'll last all year in your freezer too. All you have to do is go by one of their drop-off locations, Houston Inside the Beltway at 12634 East I-10 and in Beaumont at Zumo's Meat Company. And they're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. throughout all of deer hunting season. If you're not into that, guess what? Just go pick it up at HEB, or you can pick it up at Kroger or Fiesta, any of those places, and make sure you get Zumo's, Z-U-M-M-O-S. Make it a Zumo's weekend.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Want to play fantasy football but don't want to get locked down for the whole season? Then play with us. Just log on to ESPN975.com, click on the Pro Football Pick'em. Brought to you by Bombshells. You can play for a week, a couple of weeks. Or if you have it all figured out, you can play for the season. Each week, we're giving away prizes to the top three winners. One of this week's prizes is NBA 2K19 for Xbox One.
Nice.
Yeah. I want one of those. I have an Xbox One. NBA 2K19 celebrating 20 years of redefining what sports gaming can be, from best-in-class graphics and gameplay to groundbreaking game modes. Simply put, NBA 2K19 is the deepest and most authentic simulation sports game available. Get NBA 2K19 now on Xbox One, rated E for everyone. So, John, is there going to be a Comic-Cast this week?
Yep, we're going to talk a lot of... I think the Avengers 4 trailer is going to drop in with the next 10 days. We talk about that. We talk a little Game of Thrones. And then Bad Boys 3 gets a title, and it's called Bad Boys for Life, and the 3 in life is a 3, which...
The E in life is a 3?
What's that?
The E in life is a 3?
Yep. Very, very corny.
I'm on season 4 of that Rake that I was telling you guys about.
And you're mowing through it.
There's only 8 episodes a year in a season. But that show continues to just impress the hell out of me. I really want to move to Australia now. If people are as much fun as that show is. But that might be the best find that we've had on Netflix in a while. And I mean, we've had some good shows that – and I'll give the wife credit. She's pretty good at finding stuff I like. This one's hilarious. And I'm trying to think of a parallel, but I really can't. It's just, it's out there. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So before we'll get to the other games at 5 o'clock, but what's your thoughts on the fact that the Browns might actually consider Condoleezza Rice for head coach?
I don't know if I ever bought that. I mean, I understand that there's, I mean, I understand it's interesting and it may get some attention, but no one could have really said, okay, this woman who's got zero experience coaching football is going to take this NFL job. I just can't imagine that would ever be true.
Could she be worse at game management than Hugh Jackson or Bill O'Brien? Or just,
I mean,
speculating here.
I don't know. Maybe.
If you're going to do something like that, make sure you hire a really good OC who designs everything and a really good DC who designs everything, and then step back and be the in-game manager.
Right.
Which I don't know if she'd be any good at that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I thought that was, I'd never took it seriously.
It seemed like an attention-getting move.
But, yeah.
I just thought you might be for that. I
think no, I'm against.
Ouch. Somebody just texted, Scott Norwood would argue with the fact that kickers aren't as good anymore. That's not nice. That is not nice. So.
It wasn't that easy of a kick. It's a 47-yard kick. That was back in the days when like 50 was unheard of. You know, nobody was kicking 50-yarders. He was kicking a 47-yarder.
No. Here's another little NFL item for you.
Plus, he had the single bar face mask. I mean, who knows what kind of damage could have been done? He was worried.
You see that Gary Kubiak is considering going back to the NFL as an offensive coordinator?
Really?
Yeah.
It's odd.
Well,
it takes the pressure off of him, maybe?
Yeah, I think, especially considering his health issues and everything else and how stressful all that was. I know he'd like to coach. I'll tell you what, if he were serious, I'd make that call if I'm Bill O'Brien.
There's no way he would make that call.
I know he wouldn't.
Yeah.
But if I were whichever McNair's in charge right now, I'd suggest it. And I think he's got a place here still. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 713 asked, did the troll from last week research the OU over-under, or did he just guess? Took the under, and it wasn't even close. I'm not going to rub that in because none of my plays sucked all weekend. Dude. Yeah, I did
have Kansas to cover, though.
That's a good one.
It was one of my few. Actually, I think I was about 500 on college, but I lost. I still lost money because I was heavy on a couple games that I lost. The only game I went heavy on that I won was Maryland. But Minnesota to start the day screwed me. Army Colgate screwed me. I mean, it was the perfect under game, and Colgate was covering, and then Army punches in a touchdown with 2 minutes left on a broken play.
I got two pushes and felt good about that because everything else was just a nightmare. And the only one that I wasn't close on was Syracuse. They didn't play, but everybody else came right down to the end, and every single one went the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it's just, what do you do? I guess it's bad handicapping, and I reevaluated a bunch of stuff this week and tried it, and I was even worse. So at this point, I don't know what to do. We were talking about Paxton going to the Yankees. I still think there's arms out there for the Astros. That's a pretty big haul that the Yankees gave up.
Gave up their best prospect,
which clearly
the Astros probably weren't willing to do.
Yeah, you're hoping that Forrest Whitley can be better than Paxton is what you're hoping.
I'd wager against it.
Odds are it's probably not going to happen, but we'll see. They did make a nice move over the weekend to get Diaz from the Blue Jays. I mean,
he's a nice little utility player.
He's basically, and Joel wrote the column today on SportsMap, which is worth checking out. But basically, his numbers are exactly what you got out of Marwin Gonzalez last year.
Yeah.
And he can play all those positions, and he's cheaper.
Cheaper.
So that's
although I kind of think Tony Kemp is the guy that I would look at to be the next Marwin Gonzalez.
Yeah, I don't know that you can put Kemp at shortstop. I mean, I know he can play second.
Yeah.
But
Bregman can play shortstop in a pinch.
Yeah. Well, more than the pinch. I mean, he's a pretty damn good shortstop.
And Yuli can play third. So, I mean, I just feel like you've kind of got those positions covered if you need them.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And guys, you know, got a little holiday action going on here. Maybe you can get out of the house. Why don't you swing by Lions Poker and get in on the action over there? If you mention ESPN, 3 hours of free play in cash. How about that?
Nice.
Every weekend, they've got tournaments with $30,000 guaranteed. They're giving away $30,000 every weekend at Lions. And I absolutely love the noon tournaments that they do during the week, which is basically it's a $100 sit and go. And tonight, 6:30, 80 plus 20 hold'em tournament, 3,000 guaranteed. And if you've not been over there, I'm telling you, George and Najib run a terrific room. The place is aptly named as a palace.
Yeah, it's out of this world, and you've got to see it to believe it. There's TVs all over this place. Whatever game you want to watch, that's why playing on the weekends, no problem, because they got your games on. Whatever game you want to watch, they'll put it on for you. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. Go see it for yourself. Follow them on Facebook for all the information about the tournaments, times, things like that. But like I said, see it with your own eyes. 6134 Richmond Avenue for Lions Poker Palace.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.